Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Gresh and Fourier.
After speaking with our medical staff, further confirmation on a second opinion and Trevor's decision to go forward. He's got a fracture of the glenoid rim, so he'll have surgery on Friday. What we're looking at is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 months.
It's that time.
Gresh and Fourier, right now on WEEI.
Well, that was disappointing yesterday over at Fenway Park, but hey, everybody got to sing. Oh, man. Hey, at any point in time in your life, did you ever think you would know what a glenoid rim is? Is that what he did?
Wait, what now?
Is that story?
A glenoid rim?
It sounds like a Glenn Ordway-like disease that broadcasters get by never taking an opinion and always sitting on the fence. It's called the glenoid rim.
Why am I catching strays at 7 a.m. my time?
Is it? Did I hear that right, Nick? Glenoid rim. That's what Trevor Story has.
Is that really
it? I've never
it?
Heard it before in my life. I saw people throwing out diagrams and doctors, like Twitter doctors.
We have Venn diagrams of this going on now?
Oh, it's just like it's a whole thing. I'd never heard of it. And I've had every single injury known to man.
Like, really?
Literally, I've had every single injury.
I can tell you
one injury
you haven't had.
Which is what?
A broken penis.
No, I had something close to it, though.
What?
Yeah.
Were you kicked in the junk
while
you played?
Something similar. It's
well,
weird.
It didn't. I mean, you know, judging by your track record of scholarship children roaming the earth.
How about this?
Your wiener was never compromised.
Out of everything that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
With just the opening ceremony, all the just the emotional opening ceremonies.
Great job by the Red Sox on
absolutely.
That. They did knock it out of the park.
I didn't want to even watch it.
Really?
I didn't want to watch it.
The
it was
ceremony?
Too, and then his kids are out there, and then I didn't realize how young his kids were. You know, then putting yourself in that situation. Like, if I pass, like, my kids don't have their mother or their father.
Yeah, it's
at such a young, impressionable age when they really need their. I couldn't do it. I'm just gonna be honest. Kudos to everybody there that was handling that. I personally had to turn it off and walk away. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, and it's because of the connection that I think, you know, there's the connection of the Wakefield family to this region. Because if you remember, Tim Wakefield came up a Pittsburgh Pirate, but yet I think almost everybody universally remembers Tim Wakefield as a member of the Boston Red Sox because he was here so long. And then there is that human element of the when you see the kids and you see them on the mound and, you know, Johnny Damon going over and saying, hey, hold the trophy up in the air, and they do it and everybody went crazy for the kids. And
unimaginable.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to. But so that was the best worst part of the day. And there was a lot of things that happened yesterday, a ton of things in all the sports that played. But the one thing that made me chuckle was when Johnny Damon came on with Will and Joe. And,
oh, boy.
And as I was driving home, and he mentions the fact that he's got 8 kids. Johnny Damon has 8 kids?
I didn't know that.
8 kids?
8?
I know, maybe it's a merged,
a blended family.
A blended family. It's got to be, right? But because I was like, I'm at 7. He's at 8? Wow. That was my takeaway from yesterday.
It's funny. I went to Wikipedia to because, you know, that's where the most up-to-date information is on people's personal lives and things of that nature. And 2 marriages, fathered 8 kids.
Yeah.
Married. Married, blah, blah, blah.
He's a Cormati.
He married his high school sweetheart in 92. They later divorced in 02, and they had a set of twins together. And then Damon and his wife, Michelle, who I think is the wife now, it says they have 6 together, 5 daughters, including a set of twins.
Wow.
The whole twin thing is a part of your sort of like genealogy,
yeah.
As in like there are some dudes who just produce twins, correct? Like or they have a higher chance of doing so. I've not slid one past the goalie. I do not intend on doing so. I don't really try to think deep about this stuff, but with two different women, you have two sets of twins. There's got to be something going on there.
Got to be the guy.
Yeah, right?
It's got to be the guy.
Like, I'm not being, you know, cross or derisive or anything like that, but that is an inordinate amount of children.
Yeah.
I have fun. I have 8 kids that keep me in shape and keep me absolutely busy.
Eight.
I know. Eight. It's, well, like, it, you know, but it is two different sets. So he's got some that are old and out of the house, that are in college, going to law school, all that stuff. Then he has a fresh set. Call it a fresh set.
Oh, there you go.
Right?
That's what
okay.
it is.
It's like a new pair of kicks. I got a fresh set.
It's a new version? Is that
what
it is?
He's got a new version. They're younger. He's going through the same experiences that he went through with the first set. Now he's going through. He's got a fresh set.
Yeah. In 10 years, we'll be saying that about Billy Lanny.
He's got a fresh set.
Oh, Bubba. Bubba's got some fresh siblings or something like that. Meanwhile, Billy's just pulling his hair out left and right.
If he has any left.
Looking like me pacing around this morning as I was trying not to lose my mind.
Yeah, in a better mood now.
I'm getting there.
My sweet ass is still looking very solid, so.
He was hysterical.
He wouldn't stop talking.
He was hysterical. Of course not. What was it, 7-1 at the time? They're like, hey,
no, this was early.
Oh, this was early?
So and then he did Nesson. So then when I got home, I turned on Nessa and I was watching Lou, and that was, it's like they had to kick him out of the booth.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't have their finger on the dump button because you never know what he was going to say.
Have you ever heard of it?
They don't have one in Nesson?
A
delay,
I know,
right?
Red Sox.
They have a delay.
Oh, on TV, I'm sure there's got to be audio delay.
Yeah.
Hey, have you heard of the show Below Deck?
Right? Oh, I love it.
Okay.
Of course you do.
Johnny Damon.
He was on it.
Damon and his wife, I think twice they went on it. Which, by the way, he was polluted.
So polluted.
And you're like flying to, I think they flew to Croatia. I'm pretty sure that's where they picked up the yacht because a lot of them do there.
They have all their Caribbean, you know,
yeah,
Italy,
they're all over the place.
Hawaii, whatever.
But yeah, you're like flying somewhere to then spend 4 days on like a yacht.
Yeah.
And it's like $200,000 plus tip and
so
stuff like that.
I looked
that.
At
it's
how much money,
money
it is. It's crazy.
It
and
would
then
be
they tip them.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, it'd be unbelievable. Yeah, you're on a $200,000 yacht for a couple of days. You're at least dropping 10% on tip if they're doing their job. And they cater to you left and right. It's unbelievable.
They berate them. They yell at them.
But
it's
I've
like
never
crazy.
Seen Johnny Damon on there with the kids, if I
no,
remember
no,
correctly.
No, no, no.
It's just him and his wife,
it's
right?
It's a debauchery trip.
Oh, yeah.
It is sex. It is drinking. It is late nights. It is falling. I think he fell down the stairs one time.
I think.
And then he went into the galley. He went into areas that he wasn't supposed to go into.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's like, dude, you got to get out of here.
Well, just buy your own.
Look at me. Look at my hair.
He made like, what, $120 million or something like that.
Yeah.
I know there's a divorce thrown in there, and that doesn't help, as we all know.
He's probably done with that first set, though. Remember, he's got a fresh set now.
I would think so. Plus 20 years removed from
the old
wife. I wouldn't think so. But you never know. But he's got long bread. Just go spend $5 million and dock it somewhere, and then go there when you want to. Anyway.
Season 4, episode 9, if anybody wants to watch
Season 4, episode 9. That's a good job of pulling that up.
It's a different ball game.
There you go.
Witty.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there are some other people on there that are just repugnant. I mean, just look at the list of some of those people on that Below Deck. You can figure it out real quick who the repugnants are. Oh, yeah, there it is. Look at
this.
The guy's just, like, shirtless. They're all, like, laughing at him and stuff.
He's just the old ex-athlete. He just looks like he's just...
He suited up with the Savannah Bananas and didn't look that terrible.
Yeah.
Like, just in terms of the look, you know what I mean? It's not like John Kruk went out there for an at-bat with the Gooter hanging over the belt. Well, yeah, I guess this is what you do whenever the Red Sox have the home opener and get beat 7-1. And good Lord, I mean, yesterday was just a giant pot of bad news.
It's a come to Jesus moment. It really was. Is like the whole 7-3 road trip. You're back to base camp.
You know what it is? It felt like there was a bubble and the bubble popped yesterday, and now it's like, okay, reality is setting in.
Every issue, every concern that you had reared its ugly head yesterday. Mm-hmm. Defensive issues, Devers, Duran. Duran was like was walking around like you know, like talking.
I effing suck so bad.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because wasn't he saying that?
No,
wasn't
he was in the locker room, yeah. And he was in the clubhouse, apparently, like, you know, like beating on
his head or whatever. Himself. I'm stupid, yeah. stupid.
Yeah, it's like he's caning himself.
So he misses the ball. It's like in the almost some of this no man's land between, you know, the sun and the shade.
He misplayed it. You know, there was some context there, but it's also the window into Jaren Duran beating himself up so much, and he's been really open about the mental health struggles, and some of it is kind of the self-loathing whenever you make a mistake like that. So there is a part of, I think, anybody who would be like, hey man, like, okay, it happens, none of us are perfect, but it seems like that is still a mental hurdle that Jaren Duran has got to get over in his big league career to be a functional big leaguer and not be a guy in the lineup tomorrow night thinking about the mistake he made the night before.
Was this just one of those situations where they just like, okay, there's too many games to continually bury a baseball? Like we always talk about, you play a bad football game, bury this football, let's forget about it. Ah, we'll never talk about it again.
Oh, we used to do that.
Oh, it's a one-off, right? But in baseball, you can't do that. To me, this is more who they are. This is the reality of it. You'll see more of this than you will, you know, what you saw, you know, on the road trip in Seattle and Oakland and Anaheim.
Well, this is also a World Series contender. I think that is something that's important
stuff,
to add.
I know, but routine stuff.
No, I don't disagree with that.
Routine plays is right. All I'm talking about. Listen, I know they got a better roster than you, and they're more, you know, mature than you, but the routines, like, you can't compete against the good teams if you can't even do the little things. Like, you can't do the simple things. Like, you got to be able to make routine plays.
Yep.
And you can't. And my thing would be, you're not allowed to say we have a young team. You're not allowed to say we have youth and inexperience. I can't allow it. You're in the majors, and it just can't be an excuse anymore that you have a young team.
You know what? You look at it as an excuse, but I think Alex Cora uses it as fact in that there are going to be some days like yesterday because there are young guys out there. And, you know, Duran kind of fits into that. A texter sent into 37937, he lost it in the sun. I think it was much more about that than any sort of flaw with Duran. But the thing that got me was how hard he was taking it after the game. Poor Alex Cora. Honestly, Christian, I think Cora is going to give us at times what will be viewed as excuses when it is the reality of the situation that he lives in. I think sort of the parting of the ways is the, we don't want to hear it. Now, it stinks because the one guy who's got to convey those messages after days like yesterday is a guy who had no say on the roster that he's trying to manage. So that's why for me with Cora, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give him a pass on that one. Because A, he's not wrong, and B, I don't know how many ways he's going to be able to dress up saying, essentially, look at this group they gave me. We're just trying to survive.
Well, you're right.
Day to day.
You're right. So he will. There is a risk of him sounding like Chris Sale. Remember, Chris Sale.
That's a great analogy.
Chris Sale was like, really, he was accountable.
Yes.
He told you the truth. And then we just got sick of hearing it.
Bingo.
It's like, just dude, I get it. Just stop getting hurt and just play. We don't want to hear anything. And he would say, I know you guys don't want to hear this, but he kept saying what we all expect players to say, especially when they wouldn't say it. But we got sick of hearing it.
Yes.
It was almost, okay, enough already. It led me to believe that just the whole experiment was over. And Cora, with as much, I think, universally most people like him, respect him, think he's good at his job, he's going to take some hits on this, because saying the same thing over and over again,
yeah,
especially, hey, defense is important to me. I'm going to give you the tools to be a good defender. Well, every time that situation comes up, you don't make it. Well, I'm telling you what to do. You're just not talented enough. And it's not anyone's fault other than, like, listen, you don't have better players.
And Cora will never just come straight out and say that.
No,
and
that's, and no. That, he's got Bill in him. He's not going to rip those guys.
Right, and that's why when we hit game 100, when we're sick of hearing about the Youngs or mistakes or not having this or whatever, Alex Cora is literally going to be in the Rolodex trying to be like, okay, what sentence can I use today to not really throw anybody under the bus or anything like that? The other bad news that we got is that Nick Pivetta is on the 15-day IL. And this was the one that really stung because yesterday it was confirmed that Trevor Story was going to have season-ending surgery. I don't want to do the whole bad break for him, but there is, so, you know, I don't want to be punny, but there is an element of that. And then with Nick Pivetta, it is 15 days on the DL with a right elbow flexor strain. Apparently Pivetta talked about it and was like, hey, I'm just happy it isn't worse, but it ain't good. And this was really the worry, right, Fourier? Like, as soon as guys started to go down, where was the organizational depth to be able to pick them up? Because they're, you know, for as much as people kind of cranked on Nick Pivetta, the guy's done what has been asked of him the year. And I don't think people are like, yeah, it's a number one starter, but it was somebody in your mind going into the year you thought you had to count on.
Yeah, I tell you what, it started with Giolito and then Story. And then, well, this actually happened maybe, what, 90 minutes before before the game even started, that it was announced that Nick Pivetta was going on the IL. And, of course, like, then you get the news with Trevor Story, and he's like, he's holding a press conference. He's crying. He's so emotional, and it's like some crazy injury that literally could be career-ending. It's one of those injuries where it's so obscure and kind of like unknown. I mean, I can't find me a PT that can rehab that thing. You never heard about it in my life.
You mentioned Story getting emotional. Here's a little bit of that yesterday of Trevor Story talking about his situation.
You know, missing last season, you feel that. You know,
stop for one second, teammates. Nick. Sad Roachy begins this one.
Oh, was that Roachy?
I'm pretty sure. Billy, am I wrong? And this sounds like Sad Roachy at the very beginning of this. Go ahead, Nick.
You know, missing last season, you feel that. You know, you miss your teammates. You miss playing the game. You just know what it takes, you know. But I'll be all right.
That was all Trevor Story. I thought at the beginning it was Sad Roach.
It sounded like, I bet he asked the question.
The whole, you know, just.
It's terrible. Talk about your feelings.
You know, missing last season.
Sounds just like, you know, so Sad Trevor Story sounds the same as Dan Roach.
As Dan Roach, yeah.
It's amazing.
Sad Roachy.
No, it's really compassionate Roachy. Because he's being compassionate. He's very understanding. You know, it's a big day for Roach, you know, down there.
He got there
12 hours before the game started.
He was there at 6 a.m.
I saw him at 8 o'clock.
Trying to bump out Levin Reed on those live shots in the morning for being at Fenway Park.
Levin Reed's show is still going on.
I thought that was...
and here's Roach with the walk-by.
I thought that was Sad Roachy in there in the beginning. But no, that was all Trevor Story and clearly pretty emotional over it. And... yeah, what turned into, I would say, Christian, before 2 o'clock yesterday, it was sunshine, lollipops, rainbows, and then it turned into dark clouds, smelly farts, and just a bad feeling when you leave there because you find out that the starting shortstop's done for the year. One of the starters is on the 15-day DL. A guy who misplayed a ball in the outfield is sitting in the clubhouse punching himself in the face because he's so mad. And oh, by the way, they're 7-4. Saddle up and ride. You're playing the O's again. Like, golly,
it could not have gone worse.
I hate to say it,
could not have gone worse for them
with the injury news.
The way they lost, just the issues. It just everything about the day sucked. Just sucked. And the whole Fenway experience, I'm going to wait on this. Ladies and gentlemen.
Why?
Do me a favor.
Let's just get into it next.
Do me a favor. Okay. When it comes to purchasing the Fenway experience, I'm telling you, read the fine print.
Oh, I need an explanation on that. We will get that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the guys.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
10:30 with Gresh and Fourier. Hopefully everyone is enjoying the new first segment where it's designed for about 22 and a half minutes of commercial-free talk. Sliding scale,
it's
friend.
Sliding more than stable, I would say.
It's, yeah.
Well, let's go with 18.
We're the
best 18 10:05
to 2 o'clock show in the city, as we joke about. So the Sean McAdam headline on Mass Live has apparently caught your eye, Fourier. Red Sox used to be defined by failure. Now they're haunted by past success.
It's a great, and I know maybe he doesn't do the headline,
Sean's running things over there at Mass Live.
To me, that stood out to me.
That's a great headline.
Does it not ring true? Yeah, I was going
to
ask you, isn't it true? And it kind of reminds me of the Patriots as well, which is just amazing the way where these franchises at. The Red Sox used to be defined by failure until they weren't. You know, you were a wagon. You were competing. You were in on every single player. You were hiring the right people. You were making the right moves. You were making reckless moves, but you know what? Everybody appreciated because you're obsessed with winning. So we're like, all right, no big. The guy wants to win, right? And now I feel like they're constantly going to be haunted by past success, deals that were done, contracts that were done, situations. And again, coming on the heels of that 04 team rolling out, coming out of center field behind the American flag and all that stuff. It's the same way the Patriots are going to be viewed. They will be haunted by past success, what the old regime used to do. The Red Sox will be haunted by past success.
Do the Red Sox need to knock down some silos? Is that will
the crazy
that help?
Thing is, I don't think they have any silos, though.
Oh.
I don't think they have any silos.
You mean
silos.
They've been collaborative over there for a long period of time?
Their issues are different, wouldn't you say? Sox issues are different?
Yeah,
but the line rings true for me.
Well, the Red Sox issues are different because in the NFL, the contracts on the whole are written on toilet paper. They just get flushed. Whereas if you make a 100 and whatever it was, 150 in terms of $150 million to Trevor Story, and he breaks, you're stuck with that. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So I understand at least a little bit of fiscal conservatism from that end, but the Red Sox have kind of taken it to another level this year and hoping all these youngs come up and play well and force you to reinvest. But these are the kinds of years where the little things kind of will drive people nuts. It feels like after just one home game and you're down 7-1 and people are singing Sweet Caroline. Yeah, I saw like Pete Abe mentioned it. I know you mentioned it for you. I know others have mentioned it out there where it's just like, oh, my God, here we go again of the whole, you know, we're losing. We're getting pounded. And then here we go with more of the Sweet Caroline deal and people getting, you know, either upset or fussy about that. I know it was on Sunday, I think it was. Cora made like a reference to it in the post game. We couldn't find the audio because, of course, they were in Anaheim at a 4 o'clock
flight. But you have the quote, though.
Do we have the quote?
Oh, you want to read it? Go ahead.
Fenway's awesome. I love it. Sweet Caroline in the eighth inning and all that stuff. But when we're down 7, Sweet Caroline doesn't sound all that great, to be honest with you.
It is, but sorry, we can't get rid of it because it's part of the Fenway experience.
That's right.
This is what I was talking about. When you buy your tickets for the Fenway experience, make sure you read the fine print.
Mm-hmm.
Because getting to the stadium is such a pain in the ass. Parking is so overpriced. It is almost like insulting.
I have a parking hookup and I'm still offended.
You said you how much did you spend on parking?
$75.
So if the team is good, there it's funny, like
at
so that's why I say
at a lot where I know someone. At a lot where I can get, you know,
there
hey,
in
little brother, you back from Mexico? Great. Can you do a charge back? Help me out.
So there, yeah.
Like, seriously.
You can do that on your own, by the way.
Huh?
You can do a chargeback on your own, by the way.
Yeah, but I don't
want
to. You
have to do a whole explanation
yeah,
and prove
wanna,
that you're right. But it's
exactly. And why would I screw up a hookup?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You're encouraging me to now go. I'm surprised they haven't asked me. Like, you're going to set me up too. Not you, but.
This is something that Lou Maloney has been bitching about for years, especially the last 2 years, because they still play that stupid Sweet Caroline song. Because they have to, because it's part of the Fenway experience. You're getting your ass kicked. It's embarrassing. They should be playing the theme from the Bad News Bears is what they should be doing. But no, people come there because they want the Fenway experience. They're willing to spend $100 on parking. So Coop just put up a picture, and I'm assuming this is right near. I think I know where this picture is, right near Fenway Park. $100,
man,
park your car.
Yeah, that's a Hotel Com. That was the one where I got hooked up last year.
Yeah, $100.
This time they were like, "Yeah, can you go to the other one that's a little cheaper?"
It's not gonna last. I think people are already kind of irritated. And if the product was good and the experience was actually, you know, worth it, you can't just say, "Hey, I have real ketchup now." Not tomato paste.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, hey, stick around for Sweet Caroline, even if things are bad. It's really.
The drive left center field on the go. Rafaela, can he get it? No, it hits on the grass. It goes all the way to the wall. And here comes another run to score. Bases remain loaded. The Orioles didn't run the bases very well there because that ball bounced to the wall. They get only one run out of it.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It is.
Cigar King 978 in the Twitch chat. There's something called the green line. Sure. Number
because
one.
Because everyone can take the green line.
Well, yeah. First of all, you're right. Yeah. Like, everybody can just take the green line. Number two, I'm going to invest. So here's the thing. You can't take this to get to work. And you're going to invest, what do you figure, $500 on four seats to go to Fenway? To maybe be able to get to where you can go to find some free parking, which who knows what you lock it up. I'll leave it at that. And then you're going to get on the most inefficient public transit situation in the country right now of major metropolitan cities. 7 o'clock start. I'm going to put my trust in the green line that at 10:30 I'd be able to hop on there, get to where I need to go. Oh, yeah, that's right. Half the stuff's broke, or sometimes the schedule doesn't work for everyone. If you live in the city, that's okay for Cigar King 978. But guess what? For most normal people that either have to drive, like to drive, or want to try to control their situation to get out of there, like those who got to go to work early in the morning, you don't want to be standing around holding yourself at the freaking green line stop at 10:45 with the rest of the people trying to jam on there, getting pissed when the thing stops because you can't get to work in the morning because you're getting home at 3 a.m.
Yeah, and I can't even, like, so I took my scooter, right? And I'm, like, bobbing in and out of traffic. There's so much traffic and there's no parking whatsoever. So I was like, fine. Let's say you don't want to deal with that headache and you're trying to make it a little bit, you know, more affordable, cost-effective. And so you, like, one time I took the train with my kids for Mansfield. Went to the train, you know, spent the $7 to park, you know, it was like, you know, $10 per person, something like that. And then we walked from Ruggles right at where Northeastern is, and it's like a 15-minute walk. And then you get in, you pay, you do all that stuff, and you sit down, you spend the money. By the time, it's so much time and effort, and the product is so bad that I don't understand, like, how you can look yourself in the mirror and allow people to spend this much time. The reality is, eventually, no one's going to go. They're just going to stop caring.
Could not disagree with you more.
Really? Like, we saw it a little bit yesterday, Gresh.
It's like a drug.
Oh, my God. No way.
Fans, if you're a diehard Red Sox fan, I think you are willing to go up and down and ride the roller coaster and all that stuff. Because for the last 20 years, you've almost been trained that way. well, it's like an election. Every 4 or 5 years or whatever, here we go. We're going to be decent or have something good or whatever. Oh, no. I think that's a part of the reason why the Red Sox are doubling down on the whole Fenway experience, Christian, because it's like a team that has a season ticket waiting list. Somebody gives up the seats, there's going to be somebody there ready to buy them. And this is the one ballpark in big league baseball. I would ask you this, and I'd ask anybody this, quite honestly. Other than Fenway Park, is there a destination ballpark in big league baseball that people flock to independent of the teams that are playing there?
Wrigley.
You maybe have two.
Wrigley.
Wrigley and Fenway. And what's the common denominator? They're both wicked old, and they both sell the experience of the ballpark on top of being able to see, allegedly, a quality Major League Baseball
okay,
game.
So there's some it becomes romanticized. I get it. And, you know, I'm going to do the baseball tour. But if I didn't see the Patriots fan base bail, which I would think most people, based on the goodwill equity that the Patriots had acquired over the last 23 years, you would think they would be a little bit patient with that whole process, fixing their issues. And they couldn't jump off the burning ship quick enough. They weren't willing to suffer and overcome and take the roller coaster that you say.
I think there is a better chance, if we're on the same trajectory for both the Red Sox and the Patriots over the next 3 years, where they're going to be, you know, trying to dig out of the hole with a spoon, let's say, right? There's a better chance that Gillette Stadium is down a quarter of the attendance than, say, the Red Sox. Because the Red Sox, for whatever it's worth, have done a good job of at least marketing to the average baseball fan, hey, if you're in Boston, come to Fenway because it is a unique experience. Because when you think about it, Patriot fans are about to go through really a major fan shift in psychology, in mentality. We have found out with Red Sox fans, I think, Christian, that even if the team isn't great, on the whole, they'll still put enough people in the ballpark to where you don't have to worry about them going under or anything like that. You give Patriot fans 3 years of 4, 5, 6 wins, no coach to believe in, no real superstar to believe in. I wonder how the shorter-sighted football fan around here will react. Because, let's be real, there are a lot of fans right now who are listening to the sound of our voice, Fourier, who were 3 years old when you signed here. And that was 22 years ago, right? So we have I got one at home, a 22-year-old, doesn't know what to do. It's like, what are my expectations for the Patriots next year? Never lived in a time where the Patriots stink. But I think the fan attrition is much more real down there than it is over here at Fenway, because they proved they're still going to get 30,000 people in the ballpark.
They called it. I heard Joe and Will saying that it was a sellout. Now, I think we need to stop using that.
Even if people don't show up, it can still be a sellout. But I think a little bit of sort of what we're talking about is if the team is going to have days like yesterday where they're really going to struggle, so to speak, will people be as dedicated? Will people want to go through, like we talked about, park somewhere outside the city, take a train in, fight for a parking spot if you want to drive down there, whatever in the world it is? You know, I think I think we as fans are about to go through the biggest adjustment we've had to go through since arguably 2004. 617-779-7937. And we found out Johnny Damon has 8 kids.
8. He's got a fresh set.
There has now been a push from MLB pitchers and players that the pitch clock is now becoming a problem with all the injuries. In fact, one of the greatest pitchers in Red Sox history tweeted something about it yesterday. We'll read that and give you our thoughts next.
No matter where you work from these days, take Gresh and Fourier with you on the Odyssey app. Favorite WEEI.
For those of you watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. And by the way, you know, watch us on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, type in WEEI live stream, pops right up. There you go. If you were watching on the, for only a couple more days, the Coop-led Twitch stream, you would see, I do believe it is the Hood blimp that is flying around the city.
Oh, that's what it is.
I think so. That's what some of the Twitchers were saying. And good morning to the Twitchers as well. Again, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Yeah, there you go. Coop went back to it. So I do believe that is, I think that's the Hood blimp.
And it's here for
advertising.
Why?
I don't know.
On a random, what is today, Wednesday? Today is Wednesday.
Oh, someone says Dick's Sporting Goods now. I don't know. Of course, the Twitch chat's now freaking out that I mentioned the Coop is leaving
on
Friday.
The coop.
He is. He is.
Kicked him out of the Coop.
Yeah, all the rumors, I guess, were wrong. It was Coop.
It was Coop all along.
All along.
All along, that was the one leaving.
We'll get more of that tomorrow because I'm not going to be here on Friday. So we might have to shame Coop a day early.
Because
there's
I'm
no way
that.
You have so much going on Friday with me not here, you're not going to be able to pencil in giving Coop the business.
I think I may bring Coop in and have him kind of say goodbye.
Well, I think people are going to be in there.
We
have Jokic, an episode of Jokic.
Right.
Just Razor and Lou.
And I think there's only, do we have four functional microphones?
We'll make
there?
Him stand up.
No, but you'd have to bump someone. It's like, hey, Razor, get out of the way so Coop could sit
I don't
here.
Think Razor's going to mind. The hard part on Friday is going to be what I can do with Razor that isn't hockey-related. I was pestering him last night during the game, too.
I have a funny feeling that I will not be needed to call in on the Friday show because you're going to have all kinds of whatnot going on.
Oh, we have Tommy Kern's going to be he'll jump on. We have Danny Green. We're going to do some basketball.
Is that Friday?
It is.
And then moving forward, it'll be every Thursday with Danny Green during the playoffs.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Well, good stuff there. Well, there's been a now, all of a sudden, Fourier, the pitch clock is a bad thing, apparently, now that pitchers across the game are getting hurt. So we've had a bunch of guys end up with arm injuries, elbow injuries, and there have been two things that have been brought to the attention by the players, right? One is the pitch clock, and the other is not being able to use, let's just call it the sticky stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Pedro Martinez tweeted yesterday, when we see so many up-and-coming MLB pitchers with fewer than 200 innings in the minors, lots of muscle mass, underworked baby ligaments, and a team demanding max velo on everything they throw, we're seeing the perfect lethal combination for arm injury. First of all, that's very well stated by Pedro. And does that add fuel to the fire, or is that Pedro throwing water on a fire that MLB pitchers and the MLBPA are trying to create because we got all these guys getting hurt?
Do you think that it was him throwing shade or him bragging?
No, that's what I'm saying, is that I think this is Pedro actually kind of shifting the blame more towards organizations and what they're looking for out of their pitchers than it is pitch clock, the sticky thing, or anything like that. Tyler Glasnow apparently spoke on this as well, right?
Yeah.
I think Nick got the swears out of it or whatever. Here's what he said recently.
Your favorite pitcher probably 50 years ago was using something too. Like, if you felt these balls, how inconsistent they were, like, you have to use something. So in the past, my substance of choice is sunscreen and rosin. The thing that maybe MLB doesn't realize or that players don't realize is, like, what is the injury – like what is the prevention of, like, maybe it'll add to injuries. And in my mind, I was like, that sounds dumb. That sounds like an excuse a player would use to make sure he can use sticky stuff. But I threw to the Nationals with nothing. I don't use sticky stuff. I don't use spider tack. I don't need more spin. I have huge hands. I spin the ball fine. I want grip. I've thrown it the same way for however many years I've played baseball. I had to put my fastball deeper into my hand and grip it way harder. And I had to, instead of holding my curveball at the tip of my fingers, I had to dig it deeper into my hand. So I'm like choking the shit out of all my pitches.
Wow.
Well, he mentioned like how sore he was the next day,
mm-hmm.
and how he had issues and injuries and just, you know.
Yeah, this was after he tore his UCL and needed Tommy John. I think it was last year.
So he's basically blaming Trevor Bauer for being the whistleblower on all the sticky stuff, because now he can't use sunscreen and rosin, and he has to hold all his pitches differently.
The wake of Trevor Bauer is something, I'll tell you.
I always do think that this was controlled chaos in a way in Major League Baseball, with the whole, you know, unwritten rules and things that, like, if you had pine tar, the pitchers used to hide? Was it pine tar?
Oh,
they used
to
hide on their hats and stuff like that.
Yeah, there was the pitch.
Pineda got busted for it.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was
slathered all over his neck.
So they would ignore it as long as you weren't throwing it in their face, because they know that their pitchers need it also.
Yeah, I think batters and pitchers sort of know, hey, these are the things that are going to help us both be better.
Yeah, for both. Yeah. So it wasn't like, hey, we're not really cheating. You know I need it, you know, because God forbid I lose the grip of the ball and it goes flying at your head. So it was a necessary evil. Now they put it all their dirty laundry in the middle of the street. Now they're forced to kind of acknowledge that it exists and that it's cheating. And now we're going to check every single pitcher after every single inning after they walk off the mound.
Well, I think when you had an era gone by where dudes would throw 200 innings and you wouldn't think about it, CC Sabathia, if I'm not mistaken, one year threw 250 innings or something crazy like that in a year where I think he might have been with either the Yankees, then Milwaukee, or Milwaukee, then the Yankees, whichever one. There was a year where that guy, and that's within the last decade, threw 250 innings, and it was like they were going to throw that guy a parade. You know, like Nolan Ryan is sitting back just laughing. 300 innings? Child's play there. I don't know if he's a smoker or talks like that or whatever, but, you know, you can see the old junk baller Phil Niekro or whatever. I threw 250 innings one year with an 8 ERA. I get to count my money now.
Bardol. Vagisil.
Fine with it.
Can you imagine that? I mean, like a big league manager slips. Boy, the Vagisil ball was great tonight the KY ball was really moving for him. I mean, good Lord. So, boy, we've got some folks on the line as well. But we've been waiting to get for this. And you know what, Fourier? I'm almost more excited that we didn't get to this yesterday and that we're doing it today. Did you know the WNBA draft is sold out? Right?
Huh?
Why would the WNBA draft be sold out?
Well, because it's one reason and one reason only.
And is that one reason going to keep women's basketball in the forefront? Is there sustainability for Caitlin Clark? We'll get to a little bit of this next.